Oh, that was weird. Something new then, I guess. Okay. Yeah, that was really weird. Now everybody knows it's recording because of course we record class. But I'm gonna give all praise, honor, glory to the Most High, Yahweh Shema Mashiach Yahweh. You know, we don't know, no man knows the hour, the time, so you have to live like it's your last day, but then still plan for the long term also, just in case, you know, we're here. So I want to say Salak for that. You know, so I've been dealing with a lot of business and a lot of things going on with that. So you know, I had to take care of my household in that manner. First things first, does anybody have any questions? Any questions? How's everybody doing first? And secondly, how's everybody doing? Is everybody too up?
Yeah, doing great. Thanks.
All praise. All praise. All praise. So
A
just
statement. I guess I have a
huh?
statement.
Okay, go ahead.
Have you noticed that the Asian nation is trying to make their plight, our plight, their plight, or vice versa?
Of course they are, because they're, you know, see all that's about. See, it's all politics. Understand something. It's politics between the Republicans and the Democrats, and it affects the people. That's why, you know, although one tries to do well, you know, it's all politics at the end of the day, so they're all wicked. So it's like this, right? Over the past 4 years, you know, Trump has been exposing how the coronavirus started in China, how you know, it came to America. He also not only did that, he basically shut down a lot of Chinese corporations from even trading on Wall Street, which I thought, you know, if you're looking at a financial, that's a good thing. And in NASDAQ, you know, if you know about business, you know, you would know that's a good thing because you don't need them flooding our markets with their stuff. You know, if you're into politics and trade and all that. So you know, when the whole virus, if you've noticed, when the whole virus thing was going on, the Republicans were just exposing that this thing was you know, was from China, and how China, they basically started it. The Democrats, you know, countered and said, oh, you're being xenophobic. So if you look up what the words, you know, xenophobic is, they were applying that to, you know, people of Asian descent, mainly the Chinese. You know, so that was their thing. Like, you know, you're being xenophobic. Now, don't get me wrong. Some of these attacks are staged, and I'm gonna keep it real. Some of these attacks on Asians are staged, and the reason why they're staged is because, you know, you have to promote that there's this big hate thing going on amongst Asians. Out of the blue, now Asians want to be compared to Black Americans. You know, like you have Asians on my job, and they're looking at them like it's a joke. You know, yeah, you know what you don't know what I'm going through. You don't know what my forefathers went through. This thing right here is just a short time. A couple of y'all got smacked up. Nobody was lynched. Nobody was dragged. Nobody was hung. Nobody was fed to alligators. So, you know, you don't know what I'm feeling. So knock it off. You know what I mean? So, you know, they're just doing that to, you know, and stopping Asian hate, just so they could slip back. You know, all the Chinese products that we haven't been getting for the last 4 years, so they can see back the Chinese starting to trade again on our stock markets, things like that. And that's all that it is. See, if you understand the politics of this country, that's all that it is. And anybody that they have an issue with it, they're being xenophobic. You know, which is you know, which is a bunch of a bunch of BS. That's all it is. You know, it's all political. You know, it's all political. So it's like you're basically saying that you have a fear or hatred for somebody, and in this case, it was for the Chinese. you know, the Asian of descent, but they really just talk about the Chinese because they want to, you know, look at it. What's the most popular, the music that's out now, K-pop, Korean pop, you know, of Asian descent. You know, all the kids are listening to that stuff now. And when you look at them, they just stole what? Our culture, R&B culture, you know, with the boy bands and all that, like New Edition and the Jackson 5, even taking it back even further. The Silvers from the 70s, the Jackson 5, you know, so again, it's just a bunch of BS. That's all it is. Mm-hmm. You know, it's nothing really to, you know, like I said, it's nothing really to even, you know, dive into. So, you know, because they're just, like I said, the devil's going to be the devil. You know, the Most High is going to be the Most High. So, you know, any other statements or questions anybody have? Are we good? So if not, I'm going to need a reader, number one. And what we're going to go into today is talking about, you know, effective communication. Effective communication, the do's and don'ts, you know. And not only that, the power of the tongue, you know, the power of the tongue and what people can and what people say. Now, I know people who on here looks at a lot of Facebook stuff. Facebook stuff, Israelite Facebook stuff, or YouTube Facebook stuff. We're pertaining to Israel. How many of y'all?
I don't.
Well, that's good. Does anybody, for that matter?
You know I'm on Facebook.
No, so do you watch all the? Do you see all the stuff just basically, you know what I mean? Like just all the back and forth banter that goes on.
Yeah, all the doctrine and the debate. You know what I'm saying? No brotherly love being shown. Yeah.
Con. Absolutely, and. Why do you think a part of that is?
I think everybody want to be the best camp out there. You know what I'm saying? They want to outshine the rest instead of, you know, like you bringing your 2 cents, I bring my 1 cent, he bring his 2 cents, now we got 5 cents. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So,
right.
You know, I think everybody just, you know, they competing like it's like a basketball game or a gang or something.
Right, exactly. And a lot of that goes into, you know, men not effectively communicating towards each other, or sometimes just not communicating at all. Sometimes not communicating at all is the best thing, you know, because words have power. Words have power, and people have to realize that words have power. And if you say the wrong thing to the wrong person, you know, it could incite something bigger than what it really is. You know, and like for example, if a man doesn't agree with another man's doctrine, like I'm gonna give a perfect example. I heard about brothers from Sakari in their Passover and everything. And I was certain things that wasn't proper or whatever. And one of the brothers over there caught me and he asked me for some advice or whatever. I gave him some advice and I was like, listen, you know, this is what it is and that's that. But I was like, listen, I was talking to a brother. I said, listen, if they repent and apologize, then what? You can't say nothing about them anymore because they repent and they apologize. But then after the fact that they repent and apologize, men still going on and on and on. Like, what do you want them to do? Draw blood? You know what I mean? But that's because sometimes, you know, in a man doesn't know when not to communicate or when not to say nothing. You know, that, and that's, see, that's one of the reasons why I don't go on Facebook like that. So I'm always hearing stuff, you know, kind of, not kind of late, but late. Because I've got other things to do that are more important than worried about what another congregation is doing or how they're doing it, whether they're doing it according to Torah. You know, brothers just get outrageous with it, you know. But go to Colossians, the 4th chapter. Like I said, you got to bear with me because I can't find my glasses. So, and I prefer to read my Bible, but unfortunately, I have to. Type it in. You know, I have to type it in because it's like, oh, I can't see. So go to Colossians, the 4th chapter. And somebody read that for me and start the first verse.
Colossians 4th chapter, first verse. And it reads, "Masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal."
Right. So give unto your servants that which is just and equal. A master shouldn't be lords. He shouldn't be a lord or a tyrant, rather, over his servants. Give them what's just and equal. Give credit to where it's due. When it's not due, don't give it. You know, read on.
"Knowing that ye also have a master in heaven."
Right.
"Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving."
Right. So continue in prayer, meaning, you know, our minds are supposed to be continually focused in praying on the Most High in the name of Yahawashah. And watch in the same with thanksgiving. So give thanksgiving unto the Most High and watch in that same manner. Like it tells you, watch as well as pray. That's what it's saying. Read on.
"With all praying also for us, that God would open us, would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bond."
That's the mystery. It doesn't say mastery, it says mystery.
Oh, come on. Mystery, right? Mystery of Christ.
So
which I am also in bonds.
Right. These are the things you're supposed to do in order to properly speak the masteries of Yahawashah. You continue in prayer and watching the same with thanksgiving. You do these things, it gives you the mastery in Christ. For which Paul, like I said, Paul was also in bonds. Read on.
That I may make it manifest as I ought to speak.
Right. And when you do these things are manifest what you speak, because you're not speaking your own words. You're speaking in the name of the Heavenly Father through his only begotten Son. And that's proper. That's the proper way to do it. Read on.
"Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time."
Right. And why should you walk in wisdom to those that are without? Because like the scriptures tells you, your light should shine. If the commandment's like a lamp gives what? Light. So that as the days get evil, you know, as the days get evil, more and more people, they need that guidance. Like a brother said something to me today, and he was like, "Yo, you know what I noticed about it?" Because we was talking about potato chips. So a brother was said, "Yeah, you know, I like Utz." I said, "Yeah, I like Utz too, because they use kosher salt and sea salt on their products, on their potato chips. So that's perfect." He was like, "Yo, how do you know that?" He's like, "Yo, you know what I noticed? You just know a lot of things that the average person wouldn't think about, you know?" And I took pride in that because, you know, you, like the scripture says, be not ignorant of any small thing or great. And then I explained to them like, "Yo, well, you know, during a certain time of year, you know, that's about the only thing I can eat, you know, during the time of the unleavened bread. You know, I like to make sure that I'm not eating any type of ingredients that that are out of the ordinary during that week. So, you know, I kind of like, you know, find out those things. I like to find out those things, you know, but, you know, it tells you walk in wisdom toward those that are without, the ones that are without are your brothers and sisters that aren't in the faith. And the reason why you want to walk in wisdom around them is simple, because you never know, you know, that brother or sister might one day wake up to the fold. Look at how Paul was. Paul was killing the prophets one day. The next day, he was one of the greatest apostles. He was one of the greatest apostles, to the point to where, you know, he was, he was conflicted based off of what he was doing to our forefathers. And that's what made him just, you know, go harder. So read on.
Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt.
Right, so it says, let your what? Let your speech, all, let your speech is your communication, always be with grace, right? Got so it. It's always, so, you know, you, and this is why I always tell people, you always got to look at some, I don't care how wicked you may think somebody is, you understand? There's always some good in that person. And I'm talking about amongst our people. I'm not talking about the other nations. I'm talking about amongst our people. Never look at the worst of a person. Always try to find some good in that person. Because when you do that, then you can fulfill the scripture. Because it says, let your speech be always with grace, right? Now, what is, to define grace, right? How do you define that word grace? What's the definition of grace? Anybody know the definition of grace? Let me give you some definitions. A state of sanctification enjoyed through divine assistance. That's okay, but that's not what we're looking for. A disposition to act or instance of kindness, courtesy, or clemency. That's more like it, because clemency, when somebody gives you clemency, somebody's what? They have that forgiving spirit. They have that forgiving spirit. Because when somebody's in jail and they're given a clemency, they're given a pardon. So when the scriptures talks about, you know, let your speech be always with grace, then it says season with salt. The reason why you want it to be seasoned with salt is because salt adds flavor, right? But with everything that you salt, you don't salt it the same way. Like if you're salting red meat, you might have to salt it more than you would have to salt fish, because fish isn't, you know, you don't need a lot of salt on fish. So in other words, you're supposed to deal with each individual according to that grace that's given unto you. That's how you're supposed to deal with each individual. So read it again from verse 6 from the top.
Verse 6, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how ye ought to answer every man.
Right, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. And the reason why you need that grace, because if you answer every man the same, you know, it's something you're not doing right. You're not really identifying the people that you're dealing with, because no one of us are the same. No one of us are the same. So knowing that no one of us are the same, you have to deal with each individual on a different level. That's how you have to deal with it. You know, that's why I told you, you know, you're supposed to deal with the froward as well as the meek. But even in your frowardness, you know, you have to have grace. You have to have, be seasoned with salt, even in your frowardness. All right? Because it's important. A lot of the drama that goes on amongst an Israel today, it's about the lack of knowing how to communicate. The lack of knowing how to communicate, because everybody wants to be rah, 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 rah. Like, that's just the way. That's not the way. You know, that's not just the only one way. You know, because if I'm going at it with a person, right, and we're arguing back and forth, you're rah, 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 I'm rah, 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 you're rah, 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 I'm rah, rah, how's that solving the problem? That's not solving the problem. That's escalating the problem maybe to what? Something different. You know, may go to a next level. Why? Because nobody's humbling themselves based off their what? Their speech. So go to Proverbs 15, verse 1. Proverbs 15, verse 1. And read that. Because it's important to know how to communicate with people. That's why half the stuff that I used to look at, I'm like, oh boy, this is crazy. It's just pure entertainment. But then after a while, it's like, you know, I could be doing something better instead of, you know, how do you say it? Adding fuel to the fire. You know, like I said, I seen the brothers, you know, like I said, they repented. They acknowledged their sins. They moved on. You still got brothers talking about them. And those brothers like that, they're not a part of the solution. They're a big part of the problem. Because once a man repents, that's just it. He repents. Once a woman repents, she repents. You can't keep attacking that person. Makes no sense. So Proverbs 15, verse 1.
Proverbs chapter 15, verse 1. A soft answer turneth away wrath.
It says what? Read that again.
A soft answer turneth away wrath.
Right. So a soft answer turns away wrath. You can have, it can be two people arguing, right? The minute somebody lowers the tone of their voice, calms down, what happens? You know what happens? The dynamics of the situation change. The dynamics of the situation change once that happens. So that's why you have to have that effective communication, especially in this walk, because for some strange reason, everybody has the law, but then you know what? When it comes to things like this, nobody wants to follow it. So you have to be that bigger person. And doing this isn't a bad thing. It's a good thing. You know, it's a good thing. It really is. So read on.
But grievous words stir up anger.
Right. So it says a soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. What are grievous words? Words that just cause more drama. Let's just keep it 100. Words that just cause more drama. And another one of the problems in Israel today is, you know, social media gives some people, how do you say it? Personality, I like to say, gives them spunk. You know, it gives them
audience too.
This power that they never had before. Mm-hmm. You know, to where they think they can just say anything about anybody, and that's that. Mm-hmm. And think that there'll be no repercussions. You know, you give them a platform, then all of a sudden, you know, what do they call them? Internet gangsters. You know, and that's not cool. You know, and then they start getting negative and negative. And then when they see a person, they didn't want peace. It just doesn't work like that all the time. You know, it doesn't work like that all the time. Not at all. But that's why you have to learn how to be the bigger person. You know, you have to learn how to be the bigger person. Stay in the spirit of HaMashiach, Yahawashah. You know, because if not, you know, you'll just be a part of the problem opposed to the solution. And you never want to be a part of the problem. Right? Go to Proverbs, the 18th chapter. Stay right there, Proverbs 18.
God.
Proverbs, the 18th chapter. And if I am correct, it is the 21st verse, I think it is. Yeah, I think that's it.
Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21.
Right.
Death and life are in the power of the tongue.
So it says death and life are in the power of the tongue. Why do you think that is?
Oh, gosh. Because words, I think, basically go deep within a person's spirit and soul, perhaps. It reckons a person, pretty much.
Anybody else? Anybody else?
Can I also add that perhaps if you say something that's not correct, it can cause someone's life or death?
That too. I've seen, like, I grew up in the hood. We all grew up in the hood, right? You've seen people say the wrong thing. What happens?
Someone's dead.
Someone's dead. Someone dies. Why? Because life and death are in the power of the tongue. So if you know that life and death are in the power of the tongue, and you know that, you know, like, you know that saying, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Not according to this scripture, that's not true. According to this scripture, that, you know, words do hurt. Words do cause people to get hurt. You know, like, it's like, I can remember, you know, this is back in the world, we're in the hood. And, you know, one of my boys kind of smacked one of these guys up. And what did he say? He said, I'm going to get my gun and shoot y'all. Now, why would he say that? You know, I'm going to go get my gun and come back and shoot you. You say something like that, people aren't going to let you go. Like, you got to go get the gun, but you right here. You know, so you're threatening somebody's life. So what happens? Boom. Now you got to get a bigger beat down. Why? Because you're threatening people's life. So you see how that is? Life and death's in the power of the tongue. You know, sometimes you see some of these brothers online arguing with each other. Like, yeah, you know what? That keeps going on. You know, that could be nasty. It can go to another level. Because why? You know, life and death's in the power of the tongue. And everybody's reaction's not going to be like everybody else's. You know, and that's why I tell people, though, you just can't say things about people, you know, and think that they're not going to react in a certain way. Or if they react in a certain way, you shouldn't be mad, because that's what you put out there. And sometimes what you put out there, that's how it comes back. You put that stuff out there like that, it's going to come back just like that. So read that again.
Death and life are in the power of the tongue.
Right.
And they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof.
Right, so it says, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. So in other words, if you let your tongue control your spirit on a carnal level, you know what's going to happen, right? You're going to taste that death. You're going to taste that destruction. But if you use it on a physical level, you're going to taste what? Eternal life, right? That's what it's saying. You're going to taste eternal life. Because I tell you, it's something that, like I said, it can cause a lot of confusion if a man doesn't know how to control his own soul. Go to James, the third chapter. James, the third chapter, and start at the fifth verse.
Fifth.
Come.
James chapter 5, at the fifth verse.
3 and 5.
James chapter 3.
James 3, verse 5. Salak, if I said something different.
James chapter 3, verse 5, and it reads, even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindled.
Right. So it's telling, like, the tongue, when it comes to parts of the body, it's a little member. It boasts great things. Why is that? Because that tongue is used to effectively communicate, whether it's on a positive level or whether it's on a negative level. If you have no tongue, you really can't pronounce words. It's nothing you can pronounce without a tongue. It just sits there, it's used for tasting, but it's also used for what? Communication. it helps with pronunciation of words. And if you effectively communicate in a righteous manner, you're going to reap righteous things. But if you effectively communicate in an unrighteous manner, you're going to reap unrighteous things. Read on.
And a tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body.
Right. So it says, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. When is a tongue a fire? When is it a world of iniquity? When it's not being used for the proper purposes. Now you understand why I said in Colossians, let your speech always be seasoned with salt and have that tongue of grace. Because if you don't have that tongue of grace, you're going to have that tongue of iniquity. And it says, and it boasts great things. Look at what happened during the time of the day of Judas. When Nicanor spoke against the temple, what he was going to do to the temple and to our people, what did they do? They cut off his right arm from his shoulder all the way up into his hand and then cut out his tongue. Why did they cut out his tongue? Because he spoke blasphemous things to the Most High. He spoke blasphemous things of what he was going to do to the Most High's temple. So that's why that whole tongue had to be cut out of his mouth. Why? Because he spoke blasphemy. So now you see when it says, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. We know when it's talking about it being that world of iniquity, it's talking about how ineffective communication can be with it and how it can cause your demise. Read on.
I'm trying to figure out what's I at.
At the end of five, how great.
Five, how great a matter a little fire kindled.
Right, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. Because the tongue is a small member, but it does big things. And if like I said, if it's not being used righteously, think about it. We all have friends or close ones or loved ones whose tongue got them in a position that they couldn't get out of it, and some even killed. Like I'm big into MMA, which is mixed martial arts. And I was watching this one guy, you know, and he was talking about how, and then I watched the Canelo fight a couple of weeks ago. And in both situations, they were talking about how they were gonna beat their opponents bad and then take their wives and do all types of craziness with their wives.
Wow.
You know, now you got to back that up. When you say something like that, now you got to back that up, you know. But all they did in turn was give their opponents bulletin board material. Oh, so you're going to sleep with my wife, huh? You know, now when I watched the MMA fight, the dude got choked out. The guy who said all them comments, he got choked out like not even 2 minutes into the first round. So not even 2 minutes into the first round, you got choked out. It's crazy. Like, so you didn't even really get a chance to break a sweat and you got choked out. And it's embarrassing to get choked out to the point to where you're unconscious, because he was unconscious.
Oh, God, you
know? Yes. Yeah, he was unconscious. Because his pride had it to where, because his tongue got him in that position, he didn't want to tap out. So what did he do? He just went out unconscious. And when he woke up, the dude was standing over him, cursing him out. Now, fast forward into the Canelo fight, his opponent was talking about how he's going to beat Canelo so bad, do all this and do all that, do all types of crazy things with his wife. What happened with that fight? Well, it went a little longer. It went 8 rounds. But what did Canelo do? Canelo broke this guy's eye socket. Why? Because his tongue got him in trouble. It boasts great things, but he couldn't back up those great things. So read verse 6.
Verse 6, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body and set it on fire, the course of nature.
Right. So when it says it defileth the whole body, how does the tongue defile the whole body? Anybody. How does the tongue defile the whole body? How does the tongue defile the whole body?
Hey, I got an answer.
Go ahead, Art.
The tongue defiles the whole body because, you know, of the words you end up saying. You know, you end up speaking from the heart.
Right.
And the heart have a lot of evil things inside of that temple, man.
Exactly. Exactly. You know.
Mm.
Like, I'm going to give you a couple of experiences with me and things that people have said about me with their tongue. And when I confronted them, you know, some men caught amnesia, you know? Some men caught amnesia. Some men were just scared, you know, because the tongue can get you in trouble. You know, it can definitely get you in trouble, especially when, you know, you're saying things about people that you really don't know, you know, and in particular with those two MMA fights. Like I said, all you did was do what? Give the opponent bulletin board material to get them fired up, to even further have no fear of you, you know, or fear of your punches or anything, just to inflict pain for basically what you're saying about their loved one. You know, like a brother said some stuff about me. And when I confronted him about it, he act like initially he had amnesia. You know, he had amnesia. Then all of a sudden he remembered, but he wasn't quite sure. Then he tried to say, oh, I got an issue with him. No, look, brother, you said what you said. So just, yo, listen, be careful who you're talking about, you know, because everybody's not going to just blow it off like how other people would. Some people going to react in a way to where it's like, somebody's going to get hurt. And in a situation like what it's talking about here, you know, I've seen a lot of wars go on, you know, and I'm talking about in the streets, just based off of what? Somebody's tongue. You know, somebody's big mouth. Like, let me give you a perfect example. Even I'm in the backyard. I'm looking out. I'm not even in my backyard, but I'm looking out my window to the backyard. And it was funny because, you know, the kids on the complex, they're not evil kids, but they just make a mess in the complex. So, you know, a lot of people are complaining, like, listen, you know, put a minimum to these children. So as I'm standing by my door, because I was heating up my food, I heard one of the parents telling the children, like, yeah, you know, you live here, so you can go anywhere you want in this complex. You can run back here if you want, so-and-so, blah, blah, blah. So I'm saying to myself, now, why would she tell this kid that, you know? And I found it to be quite funny because my thing is, if somebody's having a picnic in their backyard and your kid is running through somebody's, you know, party or whatever, that's not going to go well. But you're telling him that he can do that anytime he wants and it's okay. But what if they run into the wrong family and maybe knock a table over, someone knock a younger child over? You know, you're giving them that okay, but you don't know how the other parents are going to react because you're in somebody's space. So I was saying to myself, like, wow, that's crazy because, you know, I'm having some coming up, you know, we invited some friends over next weekend. And I'm saying to myself, like, you know, I hope they don't come back here when we're out there, because I'm going to tell them straight up, take that crap over there. Go get your parents if you like, because, you know, I'm not going to have nobody disturbing my zone. But again, you know, some people, you know, they just don't know how to speak effectively and communicate things effectively, you know. And even not only that, it's in our lease that children can't horseplay around on the property grounds. That's in your lease. You could look, you know, you know, some people want to do what they want to do. You know, you got a huge park right down the block, but they want to, you know, wreck where they live at and litter in place where they live at, you know. So it's crazy. But some people just don't know how to effectively communicate. And again, this woman, by telling her child this, if her child runs into the wrong person, can set the whole world on fire with just something, some bad advice she gave a child, you know? So read on. You there, Hollywood? You on mute?
Oh, Khan, I'm reading and it's on mute. Okay. Verse 7. For every kind of beast and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind.
Right, check that out. So every kind of beast that's actually known to man or that man's seen, man has tamed that beast. So they can tame a wild lion, a wild tiger, a wild bear. They've tamed them. Orangutans, all types of animals, man has tamed them. Read on.
Verse 8, but the tongue can no man tame.
It says, but the what? The tongue can no man tame. Why? Because if you don't know how to speak effectively and communicate effectively, it's just going to be bad all around. That's just how it is. And even with us that try to, you know, be righteous, sometimes our tongue gets the best of us. Then you got to backtrack on them statements sometime, you know, and apologize, you know, because our tongue can get the best of us. So read 8 again.
8, but the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison.
Right. And your tongue represents your mind also. You have to understand that.
Yes.
Your tongue goes back into your mind, you know, and this is why you want to do several things. And notice when it comes to certain congregations, you know, how congregations teach is how they think sometimes. And what I mean by that is this. However deep a man is into the whole Bible, because you got some men that are, even though they follow Christ, they're just Old Testament heavy and they want to be the law, the law, the law, the law, the law, and not display that mercy and grace. Then you'll have brothers that balance it out with both. You know, it's a different vibration. You know what I mean? That's what the dip, and pretty much just based off how a man's speech is, there's some type of Israelite church for everybody. Because you have brothers that are more crude and rude in speech. They may like those brothers, you know, but then you got some more brothers that are well-rounded with their speech. Like, nah, that's not my cup of tea. I like being over here. So it all depends, but you know, the key is to learn how to speak effectively. And you know, like, I don't like to comment on every situation, every comment, every topic, because I don't have to. I don't feel the need to have to. I don't have to comment on, like, sometimes when, you know, you could have a husband and wife going through something. And I'm like, listen, y'all got the Bible. Y'all figure it out. I don't have to comment on it. You know why? Because y'all live together. So you have to open up your scriptures sometimes and really, you know, get to the root of the problem. You know? So read on.
Therewith bless we Yahweh.
Oh, that's it on that. That's it on that. That's it on that.
God.
That's it on that. So, you know, again, you like I said, you have to be, you know, you have to be careful on how you speak, you know. And you have to identify who you're speaking to. Some men you can talk to rough. Some men you can't. You know, some men you communicate in a way where, hey, it's no big deal, but some men you can't. You know, and even in your communication, you know, whether you're talking about something in your personal lives or whatever, you have to be careful who you communicate it to. Because why? It's not necessary for everybody to know everything. You know, it's not necessary for everybody to know everything. I remember my wife Zion knows the brother, Malachiah. Oh, Malachiah, my good old friend Malachiah. One example, because like I used to always tell him, you know, it's like this. Everybody, he wanted this respect that nobody would give him. But then I'd explain it to him, like, you know, in our personal lives, you don't have to tell everybody everything that you've been through in your personal life, especially if it's before, pre you gotten the truth. You know, everybody doesn't know.
Do whole classes about his personal
life. Right, exactly. And it's like, then you wonder why nobody takes you serious or looks at you in a different way, because you just moping and everybody's like, oh, okay, what's up with this guy? You know, so you have to be careful. And the reason why you have to be careful is because everybody doesn't need to know everything about you. You know, and not only that, you know, like I'm not a big proponent of sisterhood. Number one, it's not scriptorial. That's number one. And what I mean by that is, I'm not saying sisters can't hang out and do certain things, but when sisters want to teach other sisters and all that, have sisters classes and sisters going over scriptures, I'm not a big fan of that at all. Because it, you know, when you talk about the elder sisters dealing with the younger sisters and all that, that wasn't so much dealing with scriptures, that was so much how to be a woman, you know, and giving that womanly advice. You know, when sisters needed scriptures, they just dealt with the men for that. You know, because you need those some figures that are motherly. Like, I can remember Zakaria, and I always use Zakaria as that example because she was the mother of our church. I can remember, and I don't know if you was there, but one Saturday she came in with a whole bunch of slips, and she was just passing them things out to sisters because sisters didn't realize, you know, that they needed to wear slips under their skirts, because some of these women were wearing see-through stuff and you could see their privy parts and everything. So she took it upon herself to go get some slips, but then she spoke to us about it and she was like, listen, I need to have a class, not to deal with scriptures, but to show some of these sisters how to be women, because some of these sisters come from broken homes and they don't understand the things of a woman. So with something like that, I'm okay with that. And that's what she did, you know, but she never would sit up there and say, oh, well, I want to teach a woman's class or nothing like that, because she understood that that's not what she's supposed to do. But one of the main reasons why women sometimes don't communicate effectively is because, you know, some women are how do you say it? Jealous of other women's knowledge. You know, some women, you know, they're jealous of other women's looks or they start, not to say that they start confiding in sisters and things that they shouldn't go out of their households, you know, and that's not good communication. Like I tell my wife always, listen, look, I mind my business. So this is what we do. We mind our business. I don't care what's going on in the next household, as long as it doesn't spill over into the church, then I'll speak up on it. But if it's certain things people can deal with the scriptures, that's how it's supposed to be. And not only with brothers and sisters in the faith, but out of the faith also. If it don't apply to me, I don't need to know. I don't have to deal with it. Or I'm not going to give my opinion on it, you know, because I'm just not. It makes no sense. And that's how you keep sitting out of your household as well as the next person's household, you know? And that's how it should be. Because effective communication is very important, because what works in one person's household may not work in another person's household, you know? Or what works in one sister's life may not work in another sister's life, or one brother's life may not work in another brother's life. So, you know, you have to be careful also who you're dealing with also in your communication, because sometimes people will give you advice and they don't mean you any good, they mean you harm. Go to Ecclesiasticus in the Apocrypha 6 verse 6. And give me 1 second, I just want to get something. Okay, that's weird. I don't know why it's doing that now, but go ahead. Ecclesiasticus 6, verse 6.
Ecclesiastes
Ecclesiasticus, chapter 6, verse 6. And it reads, be in peace with many.
Right. So you're supposed to be at peace with everybody. You know, like it tells you, if it's possible, be at peace with all men. Well, you're supposed to be at peace with many. Read on.
Nevertheless, have but one counselor for a thousand.
Right, but nevertheless, for every thousand men, you're only supposed to have one counselor out of that thousand men. You know, you're not supposed to tell your business to everybody, because if you do, people won't look at you in the same light, like how another brother would. You know, people won't look at you in the same light, like how another brother would, because if you're busy going around, you got things going in your personal life, and you're asking younger men of your you got that cut. I'm gonna get that next. That's funny. That's funny you brought that out, your wife's arm, because that's on my little list there. Good. So you know, for every person you tell, you know, they don't mean you well. With some people, they don't mean you well at all. But with other people that you know, if you confide in somebody, say of your peers, you know, how much is he gonna be able to help you if y'all are on that same level of spirituality? You know, and that's what tends to happen in Israel. The next thing you know, the stuff you told him, he done told to the next person, then the next person, they're looking at you like you're crazy. You know, they're looking at you like you're crazy. So, you know, you got to be careful on what you communicate to people and how you try to communicate. Because some people, like I said, they can just be jealous of your spirit or whatever the case may be.
Yes.
And in their jealousy, you know, give you bad advice.
Yes.
You always need to be careful. You know, get that scripture, Ecclesiastes, the 37th chapter, in Apocrypha, in the 7th verse.
Ecclesiastes, chapter 37, verse 7. And it reads, every counselor exalted. Read that again. Every counselor extolleth.
Right, extolleth, right, extolleth.
Extolleth counsel. For there is some that counseleth for himself.
Right. Every counselor extolleth counsel, but there is some that counseleth for himself. Meaning what? Some people just like to hear themselves speak. They just like the sound wise. You know, they like the sound wise and make it seem like that they're wise, but they're really not. You know, they're really not. Like I remember a brother told me one time, he was like, yeah, you know, see with me, I just deal with Yahweh Shai. And I was like, oh, okay. Like he's got his phone number, something like that. You know, like I thought we all dealt with Yahweh Shai, but the way he said it was like, you know, he don't need no man or nothing. You know, I deal with Yahweh Shai. Okay, brother, you know, well, that's all good. You know, tell him I said Shalom. Because, you know, we all need some type of counsel. But again, like it says, out of a thousand men, have but one counselor. You know, and even with that, be careful with that. You know, the scriptures tell you, try the spirit to see if that person's of the Most High. You know, try the spirit to see if that person's of the Most High. If a person doesn't mean well for you, you know, you don't tell that brother or that sister your personal business. Like I said, and again, I'm not a big fan of sisters telling any personal business to anybody, any sisters, you know, because sisters just naturally gossip. I know you're only one on the phone, Maria, so don't take offense to what I'm saying, but sisters just naturally gossip. You know, they just gossip. You know, I'm not attacking, but let's just keep it 100. They just gossip and they gossip and they gossip and they gossip, you know. And it's always about nothing. You know, it's about nothing. And it's like, oh, it's unproductive for the works. And my thing is this. If sisters are married, you know, if sisters are married and you got children, you know what I'm saying? You ain't got time to be talking to sisters. You know, your focus should be on building your household up. And that's just a fact. Building your household up in your house, shy. You know, and that's what you need to do. You know, you need to build your household up in your house, you know, because why? That takes a lot, you know, and like with my wife, this is her first child. Me, I out here, I have four children already, but she understands, now she understands the dynamic of when I'm telling, like, yo, you know, I think you talk to your sisters a little bit too much every day. 3 or 4 times a day. Like, you know, my son's over here doing this, you know, you need to do this, you need to do that, you need to do this, you know? And it's like, and I explained to, I'm not trying to separate y'all, but this household comes first. And with this household coming first, let the things in our household get done first. Then after that, everything else is all good, you know? And I always have these discussions, you know, you know, with about it, you know, just so our unit could be tight, you know what I'm saying? Because me personally, like, I'm the type of person that I'm a private person. I'm not trying to hide anything, but I'm a private person. I've always been a private person, even in the world, you know. And anybody that knows me, like a Yahweh Zion, like a I'm Noah Allah, Yakuwo knows a little bit. Hollywood's getting to know me. If you know me, I have nothing to hide because you basically know everything about me. But if you don't know me, you won't know me. You know what I mean? Because I just, you know, that's just how I am. But, you know, with that being said, and with my household, you know, I like to keep it that way. And the one thing that I want to stress, even with brothers and sisters and everything, keep your households in order by proper communication. You know, when you have proper communication in your households, things like that, that's how you keep your households in order. You know what I'm saying? That's what's needed, proper communication in the households. Excuse me. Dying of thirst here. Okay. So, you know, that's the key. So read that again in the Apocrypha. Oh, what was you at in the Apocrypha anyway? Ecclesiastes 37?
I believe so. 37:7.
Okay, we could drop that. You could drop that. Go to Ecclesiasticus 19:7. Same place in Apocrypha. And I gotta find my glasses before the Sabbath, because I'm doing the Sabbath service the next 2 weeks. Oh my goodness.
I misplaced my glasses for 2 days.
I've not had my glasses since Saturday. I don't know what I did with them since Saturday. I've been looking every day, and they're probably somewhere right in my face. Yeah. So I got them in my glasses case. Mm-hmm. And I'm pretty sure they're like looking right at me, but I'm tearing up every place looking for them. And I'm just like, I don't remember where I put them at. So read that Ecclesiasticus 19 verse 7.
Ecclesiasticus chapter 19 verse 7. Rehearse not unto another that which is told unto thee.
So what does that mean? Rehearse not unto another which is told unto thee. If somebody confides in you, don't communicate that to the next person. Mm-hmm. That thing's supposed to stay with you. Unless that person wants to communicate it, then communicate it. But if somebody's confiding in you, you know, then don't rehearse it. But not to beat up on the sisters. This happens among sisters all the time. All the time. All the time, this is what happens among sisters. So read that again.
About to sneeze, 1 second. Excuse me.
Now, Brock.
Yes, thank you. rehearse not unto another that which is told unto thee, and thou shalt fear never the worst.
Right. It says thou shalt fear never the worst, because now somebody tells you something, let it die with you, or just forget about it, and you'll feel never the worst. Read on.
Whether it be to friend or foe, talk not of another man's lives.
Right.
And if thou canst. Not of
other men's lives.
Men's lives.
Right.
Not of other men's lives. And if thou canst without offense, reveal them not.
Right. And if thou canst without offense, reveal them not. And this is something that we've all been guilty of, you know, rehearsing other men's lives. So certain things that, like I said, men confide in you about, you know, don't let that get out. You know what I mean? No matter how angry or frustrated you can be with the person, whether it's a brother or it's a sister, don't let it get out, you know, because again, you always want to look at the good in the person. And especially if it's something, I remember a brother said something about me that happened in the 90s, but the way he tried to flip it, like it just happened last week. I'm like, he told you what? He's like, yeah, you know, brother. So I just wanted to know. I'm like, dude, first of all, I don't even know why he would tell you something that happened in 1997. Like, that happened in 1997. Like, are you kidding me? Like, come on, get out of here. Come better with that. Like, you know, but that's what brothers do. You know, they rehearse other men's lives. You know, and some of these brothers in Israel, they're worse than women.
Yes.
You know, they're worse than women. So, and that's why half the stuff brothers try to say, I don't want to hear it. I don't even want to talk about it. Why? Because it doesn't pertain to me. Does not pertain to me. You know, doesn't pertain to me, doesn't pertain to my household. So I try to eliminate that spirit and push it away. Like, I don't got nothing to say on that. I'm good. You know, you know, don't let nobody bait you into anything that any type of conversation that you don't want to be in, you know, you definitely don't want that. You know, that you definitely don't. Like, I can remember the situation when a sister was confiding in another sister about sister wives. And it's like, why are you confiding in the sister about that for? You know, and then what happened? She gave wrong advice. Then it was a whole big thing. You know, the sisters don't even speak anymore. And it, first of all, there's no such thing as sister wives. That's not even in the scriptures. Rebecca Rebecca and Leah, they were sister wives because they were actual sisters, and they were wives to who? Jacob. But other than that, David's wives didn't call themselves sister wives, so I don't know where to get that thing from. You know, they just make these things up. But you know. Again, you just got to be careful what you say, who you say it to, whether it's a person, whether it's about your personal life or whatever, or somebody else's. You got to be careful. But read this again in Ecclesiasticus.
Verse 8. Whether it be to friend or foe, talk not of another man's lives.
Of other men's lives.
Talk not of other men's lives.
Right.
If thou canst without offense, reveal them not.
Right.
For he heard and observed thee, and then time cometh, he will hate thee.
Right. And then it says, for he heard and observed thee, and when the time cometh, he will hate thee. And could you blame that person? You really can't. You know why you really can't? Because look at what you're doing. You're putting yourself in another man's situation, and then you're telling it. You know, especially if a person confides in you. You know, but it goes back to what the scripture says. Out of 1,000 men, have one what? One counselor. That's why the scriptures that we read, we have to apply these things. And that eliminates a lot of unnecessary, unwanted, negative communication. You know, and everything that we deal with, you know, like if I don't agree with what a video a brother made or what a brother said, I'm not even gonna watch the whole thing. And I'm definitely not gonna comment on it because that's a waste of my time. It's like, that has nothing to do with me. If that's what that brother, his understanding is, or that sister understanding is, look, you're hot with speed. I don't have nothing to do with that. I'm good. But when you put yourself in a situation, this is where the hatred comes from, the malice comes from, because everybody's gonna perceive these scriptures in one way or another based off of 95% of Israelites in this day and age aren't properly taught, nor do they want the proper teaching based off of where they might be at now. That's why there's so many different doctrines out. Because a lot of brothers and sisters, that they haven't come up in an organized class structure. They're just flipping from one congregation to the next, to the next, to the next, to the next, to the next. And every last one of them has a what? Different doctrine. Like even when you spoke to the young brother, Yakawal, who left the camp, what'd he say? Oh, damn, these brothers celebrate the Sabbath way different. Like, yeah, brother, boy, you know, hang out over there. That's the choice you made. So, you know, that's what it is. You got to tough it out. You know, you got to tough that out now because that's a choice you made. So that's what it is. So go to Psalms. Go to Psalms 141st chapter.
141st?
Yep. Psalms 141.
Psalms chapter 141, verse.
Start at verse one.
Psalms chapter 141, verse one.
Start at verse two, better. Start at verse two, that's even better.
Verse two, and it reads, "Let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice."
Right, so it's a let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense. And even when you read in Revelations, it talks about how the prayers of the saints come up in an incense. And it says, and lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. Now, lifting up of thy hands, you know what that's going into when you're praying. Read on.
Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips.
Right, it says, set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth, meaning monitor what I say. We need to always monitor what we say and how we effectively communicate. We definitely have to do that. Why? Because it's just important. Because we went through the scriptures on how powerful the tongue is and what the tongue represents. You know, we understand that. Like, I remember a brother said to me one day, because, you know, everybody wants to make videos on YouTube. So brother, he had me on video and he was like, yeah, what do you think about them GMS brothers? Like, I was supposed to say something negative. I'm like, y'all got mad love for them brothers because I know their elders. Their elders, some of them are my teachers. So it kind of threw him off guard. I'm like, well, what did you want me to say? Like, that the niggas this, that. I don't have no problem with them brothers. Like, I don't do that internet beef and all that stuff. Like, especially when I know Tahar. I know Gabar. You know, I know a couple of other brothers that not even in their camp anymore that branched off. But it's like, you know, I'm not gonna feed into what another brother's doing because he feels that way about him. So that's why it says, set a watch, O Lord, before thy mouth. Read on. It says, keep the door of my lips. I'm just reading for you. It says, keep the door of my lips. So you want to always be careful about what you say and who you say it to, especially who you say it to, because you know why? You can say one thing to one person, right? And by the time it gets back to somebody else, the story is going to totally change. And then what you said was something totally different. So that's why you want to make sure that, you know, you keep the door of your lips. You know, sometimes on a situation, you don't have to even speak on it. Like, what do you think about what's going on with them? I don't think anything. That's between them. Let them figure that out. I don't have to play mediator. I don't have to play matchmaker. I don't have to get involved on the this and the that and what happened here and what happened there. I don't care about all that. That does not involve me. If it doesn't involve me, you know, men got scriptures. So men need to know how to work those scriptures out. So read the fourth verse.
Okay, can you hear me? I just touched my phone a certain way. Can you hear me?
Todd, I can hear you.
Okay. Fourth verse, incline not my heart to any evil thing.
Right, and remember it tells you about the tongue. The tongue represents your mind. So if your mind is inclined to do evil things or speak evil things, your body's going to follow. That's just how it is. Read on.
To practice wicked works with men that work iniquity.
Right.
And let me not eat of their dainties.
Right, their dainties, meaning that their wickedness they deal with. That's what it's talking about. Because wicked men get seduced by wicked men. It tells you what? Evil men and seducers wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. I'm just paraphrasing right now, but some along those guidelines. If a leader is wicked, 9 times out of 10, the whole congregation is going to be wicked. And that's if a leader starts out wicked. If a leader starts out wicked and all his thoughts are wicked and evil, then guess what's going to happen? That's how his congregation is going to be. If a leader is a gossiper, a backbiter, a talebearer, that spirit's going to spread throughout the congregation. Same thing like in a house. If a man's one way, his wife's going to follow. That's just natural. I can remember, y'all might just, I'm back. I taught the woman's class one day. This was way back in the days. And I said, let me ask y'all a question. What would you do if your husband left the faith, just to see what sister was going to say? Oh, you know, we'd still be together, but you know what? I'd still come around, this and all that. What happened? All these sisters that was there saying that, when their husbands wanted Christianity, what did they do? They followed them. I knew that was going to happen, because you're going to follow your husband.
Yeah, didn't you ask that, like, a little bit before the church split or something like that?
Yeah. Absolutely. And I can tell you all the ones who was standing up, talking about what they was not going to do and this and that. I'm like, okay, well, we'll see about that. But that's just what it is. You know? So that's just natural. You know, if a woman is born in the truth by her husband, I mean, she's going to leave out with her husband. That's just natural. You know, that's natural. I see it all the time. You know, I see it all the time. So, and I'm not, you know, and it's not to, like I said, come at the sisters in a negative way, but that's just a fact. You know, now, you know, I've seen sisters that they came in on their own, found a husband, and still left out. So, you know, that's what that is. But, you know, you always want to practice, and not only practice, but just perceive righteous thoughts. Because, you know, negative thoughts breed negative communication. And you never want that spirit on you. You know, you never want that negative spirit on you. Because that's the spirit of Satan, you know, and you know, that's that spirit to where I've seen on men, and it's not good, you know, to where men can just have true hatred for other brothers, which is about to say,
Yeah, I was gonna say, like, you know, give a testimony to myself. I remember when we was doing the Body of Christ, I started going off a little bit. I almost went back into the world. And I remember, this is before I met my wife, the job where I used to work at, these two dudes I used to kick it with every day, they was big fornicators, man.
Right.
And every time we got together, we'd talk about fornication. Next thing you know, I almost ended up in that junk, man.
Right, right, exactly.
You know, just from talking about it, man.
Exactly.
You know, the talking just start leading you into it.
Right, exactly. You know, and that's why the scriptures talks about go to Matthew's. Matthew's the 5th chapter.
Matthew 5th chapter, verse. We
start at verse 14.
Matthew chapter 5, 14th verse. And it reads, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on an hill cannot be hid."
Right. So when it says, "Ye are the light of the world," right, that light of the world meaning, we are that beacon of hope, right? A city that's set on a hill that cannot be hid. Even the city of Jerusalem sits on a mountain. The temple sits there right on the mountain. All right, it can't be hid, especially if it's in plain sight. But that light represents something. Hold this and go to Proverbs, if I'm correct, 6 verse 23. Proverbs 6 verse 23. But don't lose Matthew's though. Keep that.
Okay. Proverbs chapter 6 verse 23. And it reads, "For the commandment is a lamp."
So the commandment is a lamp, right? A lamp gives off what? Light. It gives off light. That's what the commandment does. I mean, that's what a lamp does. It gives off light. Read on.
"But a commandment is a lamp, and the law is light."
And the laws of the Most High is light. Why? Because when you hold a light up, it gives you guidance in the dark. We live in a valley of the dry bones. We live in a dark place called America. So the more you read your Bible, the more your light shines. And not only the more you read your Bible, but you're reading it and then you're applying it to your life and living it. People see these things. But now, if you're just reading it and not living it, people see those things too. So you want them to see the commandment, which is a lamp, excuse me. You want them to see the law, which is light, in you, and you are being living proof. Read on.
"And the law is light. And reproofs of instruction are the way of life."
Right, and reproofs and instruction are the way of life. Because when you're being reproved, you're being corrected through the instructions of the scriptures. So now go back to Matthew, the 5th chapter, because we now have a better understanding what that light is. So go back to Matthew's.
Matthew chapter 5, verse 14, "Ye are the light of the world."
Right. So now, us knowing that the light is dealing with the commandments. So think about it. We follow the commandments. We're supposed to conduct ourselves, act, treat each other in a certain manner, so that the whole world sees. And they're like, whoa, yo, you know what? These people are different. You know, they're dealing differently. They're rocking differently. They're not killing each other. They're doing this. So we're a reflection of the Most High in Christ, because we're made in an image of the Most High in Christ. We always have to remember that. So read on.
You are the light of the world. A city that is set on hill cannot be hid.
Right. So the same way how a city that's set on a hill can't be hid, when we deal with this Bible, right, and we apply it to our lives, and people start to recognize that we're different than the average person that's in the world of our people, they can recognize that. Like, on my job right now, I know everybody pretty much knows that I'm an Israelite. Everybody pretty much knows that now. Somebody saw one of the videos of me teaching, but nobody's saying nothing because, you know, I can be very aggressive sometimes at my job with our brothers and sisters because I hate the way they treat each other. But when Esau comes in, they all bootlicking. To where with me, I don't allow them to treat me any old way. And when the nations come in, I'm just always putting them in their place. I'm basically doing their job for them. As far as my supervisor's job, who are Israel, but I do their job for them when it comes to the heathen. Because it's like they're just naturally scared of them. So I'm pretty sure they know I'm Israel because somebody was saying, oh, yeah. They made a comment about something. Then it was like, yeah, you know, I wonder if he's one of them Hebrew. And then he stopped because we was all standing there. And I'm like, Hebrew what? What are you saying? So everybody just started looking at each other. And nobody was looking at me. Everybody just looking at each other. So I'm like, okay. I didn't think nothing about it. Like, they probably know I'm Israel, but I don't care, you know. I don't care. But based off how I conduct myself at the job, they all know I'm different. They know I don't go to the holiday parties, this, that, the whole nine yards. Whenever they have something for like, they have a little thing for, like they had something for Mother's Day or whatever at the office. I didn't go there. I didn't do this. I didn't do that. So of course they start putting two and two together. And then I'm always reading my Bible on lunch. So that too. Or they'll see me on my computer doing something and I'm being so secretive that I don't, you know, because I'm doing something pertaining to the scriptures or whatever the case may be. And I don't want them all in my business. So I'm pretty sure they figured it out now. But one thing none of them would say is that I act like some worldly dude, you know, or I act like them. They'll never say that. They're like, why are you so different? I'm so different because we have the light. And the light causes you to shine differently and shine bright to where not only your people notice, but even other nations notice. And that's what you want. You want to stick out like a sore thumb because in order for you to find your life in Christ, you have to lose your life in this world. And you have to be happy with losing your life in this world. Because if you're not happy in losing your life in this world, then guess what happens? You're going to go back into the world. And that's a fact. So go to Deuteronomy, the sixth chapter. Okay, but hold Matthew's though. Because we're not finished with that.
Deuteronomy chapter 6.
No, hold on. I think it might be the other way around. Let me see. Quick, fast. Like I said, I can't find my glasses. So I'm jacked up. So I might have said it backwards. I can't even see my red Bible right now. Oh, no, it's Deuteronomy 4, verse 5. I said it backwards.
Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 5. And it reads, behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that ye should do so in the land whether ye go to possess it.
So now remember when we read in Proverbs, it said the statutes and these judgments, these laws, and even the things that reprove us, they're like a lamp. They're like light, right? Read on.
Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations.
Right. So in the sight of the nations, if you're following these ways, this is what the nations shall say unto you. Read on.
Which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people.
Right. Because when your light shines, when your light is shining a proper way, this is indisputable. It's, if you can't dispute it. Read on.
What nation is there so great who had God so nigh unto them as the Lord our God is in, as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon him for?
Right. Read on. So that's it. So that's it on that. So that's it on that. So now that when that light is shining, go back to Matthew's. When that light shines in you, this is what the nations say. Not only the nations, this is what your people say. Because whether you want to believe it or not, it's not that we're different from our people, or it's not that we're better than our people. We just know better. We know that if we follow these laws and these commandments willingly, that there'll be nothing but blessings for us. And that's where that's where we have to set that standard as far as a nation trying to come back to Christ. So go to, like I said, go back to Matthew's.
Matthew chapter 5, verse 14.
Right.
You are the light of the world. A city that is set on hill cannot be hid.
Right. So the same way how a city set on the hill that can't be hid, if you're walking in that spirit of Yahweh Shah following these laws, the knowledge can't be hid. Like it tells you in Ecclesiastes, your face begins to shine when you deal with the wisdom of the Most High. Your aura changes. You have that halo effect. You're treated differently. Read on.
Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel.
Right. So you had the parable of when the men had talents. It was one particular person that did what? Hid their talents. You never want to hide your talents. You don't want to take your light and put it under a bushel. No, you want it in a place to where everybody can see. And the focus is on you because your focus is on Yahweh Bahashem HaMashiach Yahusha. Read on.
Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house.
Right. The same way how Moses taught us the laws back then, Yahweh Shah commands us to teach these laws this day. But sometimes you got to understand, you could be teaching people and you don't even know it just by the way you apply these scriptures. Because the way you apply these scriptures and conduct yourself, that's a teaching tool also. And I'm pretty sure all of you experienced it in your journeys. Because people realize that you're different from the average so-called black man or so-called Hispanic man or so-called black woman or so-called Hispanic woman. They realize that on your jobs. They realize that in your everyday life, especially if you're locked into these scriptures and you're saying, well, you look, I need the Sabbath off. I need this day off. I need that day off. Pertaining to what? Our feast days. Read on.
But on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house.
Right. So that you want to project your light to where everybody can see it. Don't be ashamed to be an Israelite. Don't be ashamed to follow the Most High Yahweh Shah in these dark, terrible times. And that doesn't mean you go to your job all fringed out and all that. You know, you're wearing your garment at your job and all that. You don't have to do all that. People are going to notice you're different just by the way you conduct yourself. That's what they're going to notice all that. It's funny, at my last job, I speak to a lot of my coworkers at my last job because we go to baseball games together. And I never told them I was an Israelite, but recently, the last time I spoke to one of the guys over there, they was like, yeah, the security guard downstairs that I should speak to, he saw me one day teaching in the street on video. So what did they do? He had all the security guards looking, called everybody at my job. They was all looking at me teach. And it was just so funny because they was all like, yeah, I knew you must have been Israelite or something. Cause they was like always, this guy's like militant and he's disciplined. He's militant and he's disciplined and he stays focused. You know, but that's because why? I carried myself the same way how you carry yourself around your brothers and sisters that's in the faith is the same way how you're supposed to carry yourself amongst brothers and sisters that are out of the faith. You're not supposed to stoop to their level. You know, you're supposed to be that beacon of light, be that light to let it shine. So finish reading that out.
Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven.
Right, because the good works that we do, all that glory goes to who? The Most High Yahweh. In the spirit of Yahweh Shah, of course, because we do all things through Christ. But why does it go to the Most High Yahweh? Because we are made in his image. That's why it says, ye were once gods, because we were made in the Most High's image, but now we'll die like men. But that's why we're striving right now for eternal life, so we can be, we can find favor in the Most High's sight, to be able to represent him on this earth in his image. That's what it's always been about. You know, the Most High came to this earth one time, right? You know, and he only came to see Moses. He came and he left. Now, he's sending Christ back to reign on this earth. And we're going to be joint heirs with Christ if we make it. We'll be joint heirs with Yahweh Shah. So then we'll find favor in his sight if we become joint heirs with Yahweh Shah and get eternal life. And we'll be as gods again, walking on this earth. We'll be representatives of the Most High. Because it'd be our job to do what? Teach this word to those that need the word, which in that day is going to be the nations, because we won't need to teach each other, but they're still going to have to learn. Go to Ephesians. Ephesians, I'm pretty sure it's the fifth chapter. Ephesians, the fifth chapter, and start at verse 14.
Fifth chapter?
Okay, no, actually start at verse 13.
Which chapter?
Ephesians, the fifth chapter.
Verse 13.
Cut.
Go ahead, I can read. Yeah, I gotta go back and change this chapter. Five and 13. Okay, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 13. And it reads, but all things that are reproved are made manifest by light, by the light.
Right.
Because whoever doeth make manifest is light.
Right. So now remember how we read in Proverbs, it talks about that the light. And reproved. That light is the law, right? So all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. So if anything's going to be corrected or reproved, it has to be corrected by the light, which is the law, the commandments of the Most High. Read on.
Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest and arise from the dead.
Right. So awake thou that sleepest and arise from the dead, meaning the spiritual dead, read.
And Christ shall give thee light.
Right, because Christ is the one that bestows upon us his holy word. That's why he said to the Most High, he said, listen, I've not lost anyone that you've given me. That's why he said, I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but only those that you gave unto me. Read on.
See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise.
The key is to walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. So don't get caught slipping. The same way you're around brothers and sisters, you know, is the same way you're supposed to be when you're in the world and you're not around your spiritual brothers and sisters. You're supposed to walk circumspectly. You're supposed to walk circumspectly. I can remember you had some brothers back in the days. I tell you, they would, in the camp, they're the white man, the devil. But then all of a sudden, right after that, they go into the clubs and they dance with the white women. That's not walking circumspectly. With garments on at that. It's not walking circumspectly. Read on.
Redeeming the time because the days are evil.
Right, the days are evil, so you want to be that light. And the reason why you want to be that light is simple. You want to be able to guide your brothers and sisters out of darkness. Even if you're doing it indirectly, just by the way you conduct yourself, you know, to where they may want to approach you one day and ask your opinion about scripture, things like that. You know, maybe they want to do that. You know, like I can remember, and this happened to me, it was funny. My cousin from Florida, whenever she comes up, you know, she would always stay by me. And out of all my mother has 11 brothers and sisters, right? And it's a whole bunch of us cousins. But anytime my cousins from Florida wanted to come up, it was like only my mother or my mother's children would be the ones hosting them. And nobody else pretty much wanted to host them. So it was so funny that, you know, she came up like about 4 or 5 years ago. And she was like, yeah, you know, I'm trying to figure out which one of our cousins is one of them crazy radical Israelites. So we know when we're drinking, we're in, we took her out to dinner. So they're like, yeah, I'm trying to figure out which one of our crazy ass cousins are them radical Israelites. Cause I got a word, I got to speak to him about them, blah, 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 this and that. So my brother just burst out laughing, you know, all this time she comes, she always stays with me. She didn't even know I was an Israelite. And it's so funny, like I have menorahs, everything, you know, all in the house, garments in the closet, everything. She never noticed it. So, you know, she's going on ranting about how, yeah, she's going to set them straight, this and that, so-and-so, blah, blah, blah. And my brother just started pointing towards me. So she didn't get it, you know, but he just laughing. He's almost on the floor. So he starts pointing towards me. So she looks, she's like, you? I'm like, yeah. And she couldn't say anything because for all these years she's come up, I'm always showing her so much love. You understand what I'm saying? And so when she heard that one of us was an Israelite and found out it's me, you know, she really couldn't say anything negative just based off of I'm always taking you in whenever you want to come up here, no matter what. So it was just it was a funny moment. You know, but based off the way I treated her, they done went from, I'm going to put them in their place to where, you know what, Israel can't be that bad because my cousin always showed me love. You understand? So I could have just went in attack mode and attacked what she was saying, but why would I do that? You know what I'm saying? It's my cousin. I love her to death. She's mad funny. You know what I'm saying? And we have a great time when she comes up. So, but it just showed that the way I conducted myself all those years, you know, not even going over scripture with her or anything, but she just right off the instance, when she realized I was the Israelite, it wasn't even a discussion of the Israelites are dealing with the doctrine of the devil. That wasn't even a discussion. But now if it was another cousin that, it, you know, then it would have been a bigger thing, but it was me. So she understood, listen, I'm showing you love and I'm an Israelite. Here it is. None of your family members are showing you any love. And they're not Israelites. So who's the bad guy? Me and you. Me and them. You know, we got a lot of family up here. And she always just comes and stays by me because nobody else offers. So, you know, but that's what it means to walk circumspect and let your light shine at all times. You want to make sure of that because, and like I said, be proud to be an Israelite. it's a good time to be an Israelite because, you know, the days are getting darker. We're not getting any older. So no matter if Christ comes back in our time frame or we die in Christ and we'll receive that eternal life. It's a win-win situation any way you put it. So put your light on and let your light shine through effective communication. That you always want your communication, like the scripture says, to be with grace seasoned with salt. So does anybody have any questions?
Great class.
Any comments, any break, anything in the go over? Quick class?
Great class. You seem to always hit home.
That's not me, it's Yahweh Shai. I'm just a vessel.
Yes, sir.
I'm just a vessel. So Yahweh Designs class is tomorrow night.
Con. I'll be texting y'all the time, but it should be normal time, probably around 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time.
Con. All praise. And I gotta hopefully I can find my glasses, because if not, I mean, I'm gonna have to get somebody to do the Sabbath service because I can't see. I gotta find my glasses.
You want me to bring you mine?
So you got old man glasses. I got 50-year-old glasses. You have 60-year-old glasses.
Yo, you know my wife just got her some new glasses yesterday, yo.
I kid you not. I've been looking for my glasses since Saturday night, and I can't find them, you know. And I've been using my phone as a magnifying. I got a magnifying app on my phone. You know, I feel like Yashamaya right now with the magnifying glass. But most, I'm going to look for them tomorrow because I got a half a day tomorrow. And I'm going to just have to tear the house up and tear the truck up just to find it because I know it's somewhere around. So most times, well, I could definitely find them. So, but everybody have a blessed night.